K-A-Y-T, Gina Alexandria. The gospel is on the radio at 88.1. Call up somebody. Tell them it's going to be all right. K-A-Y-T. Got the gospel transmitting all day.
This is BJ, and I would like to welcome you to our show, Just Stuff. This show is about ordinary people just like you, just like me, combining our efforts in a positive way to make our community better, one day at a time, through conversation, encouragement, resources, empowerment, and just plain talk. Remember, you are the best part of this show.
Good morning, everyone out there. If you're hearing my voice, that means you have breath in your body. And because you have breath in your body, we admonish to praise the Lord. Let everything that have breath praise the Lord. I am your guest host every third Tuesday. Here on Just Stuff, Reverend June Addison, and I thank Sister Barbara, the host of this ministry, for allowing me to come every third Tuesday and just share the Word of God with you. So to all of you, you know our standard procedure is to have your Bible, pencil, and pad as we walk through the Word of God this morning. This is such a blessing. And I just pray that you will hear the Word of God. And as my pastor, Reverend Raymond Franklin, always say, not only hear, but adhere to the Word of God. Amen. This is such an awesome word this morning. And it's going to be excerpts taken from a service that I ministered at the Harmony Baptist Church there with Pastor Victor White and Sister White over there. And it was the beautiful, beautiful Sisters Women's Day back in September. Sister Terry Booth over there giving leadership to the women ministry. And I was given the okay and God sanctioned it to share with you the word that went forth over on that Sunday. And it's such a blessed word. You know, God's word is, it says preach in season and out of season. And the word that came forth there at Harmony is a word for in season. Their theme was taken from Acts chapter 9 and verse 36. And today I want to, and the background of Acts 9 and 36 is the Great Commission, fulfilling the Great Commission. Such a powerful word for today, for right now, fulfilling the Great Commission. And God is drawing our attention back to fulfilling the Great Commission. So I am truly grateful this word, Pastor White, is still preaching, is still going forth. And today, the Great Commission is given to us in Matthew 28, 18 through 20, as well as recorded in Mark chapter 16, verses 15 through 18. So we're going to be looking at those scriptures as we bring back to our attention fulfilling or the Great Commission. You know, I know we say a lot of things and preach many things, but we always have to bring people, the sheep, the people of God's attention back to that Great Commission. So we're going to take a look at some excerpt from that service. And I shared with them that God gave me so much revelation from that scripture. that single scripture as well as Matthew and Mark. And I shared with them, I have a lot to say about two things. Amen. Those two things, we know in Acts 9, it records the story of Sister Dorcas, that she was a disciple there in Joppa. And two things that we see from this saint's life. She saw a need in her community, and she did something about it. Oh, my God. Oh, Jesus. How many of us, in fulfilling what God, what Jesus, the last thing Jesus told us to do was to, and we'll get into it later on, was to go and fulfill what I have given you an example of, what I have told you to do. How many of us in this day and age see the body of Christ, see a need, and we do something about it? So as we walk through this, what God has given us for today, is that this disciple Dorcas, she was one person in her community. She was a seamstress, and she made garments for the widows in her city. And I believe that Sister Dorcas didn't just make garments for the widows. She didn't just meet the need of the widows. I believe she also encouraged them, and she encouraged others, and so much so that her entire community was blessed by her acts of using her skills for God and blessing others, serving others. She used and saw the need in her community and used her abilities. She had compassion on those that she served, and she demonstrated love for those that was in her community. That ought to sound like every house that's open in God's name, where God has put his name at that house. Amen. So we see Dorcas's life is built on Matthew 28 and Mark 16. It's built on, she demonstrates for us the Great Commission. And her life was no doubt one of sacrifice to be a seamstress. I'm well aware of the seamstress, my seamstress, God bless her. Sometimes I bring her several garments at one time, and with a smile and a grateful heart, she still is gracious toward me. And she does what she need to do. And no doubt she sacrificed, Dorcas sacrificed time and effort and skill to meet the needs of those in her community. So as a Christian, we know we are to always be abounding in the work of the Lord. And the work of the Lord is based on, its foundation is based in the Great Commission. So we must always be ready to be used of God. And there were three areas the Lord gave us to take a look at in fulfilling the Great Commission. One of them was, first, we must fulfill the great, by fulfilling the Great Commission, the first order of business is to obey God. Oh, hallelujah. Jesus, the first thing Jesus said was to go. And one of the things that blessed us is that the word came forward that said, you can't go and stay. Hallelujah. You cannot go and stay. It's going to be one or the other. You're either going to go forth and fulfill the Great Commission, or you're going to stay and not fulfill what God has ordained and told us to do. So I'm truly blessed by understanding when we cannot go and stay. God is calling the church in these latter days to go. That was the first order of business. So, church, I'm asking you today, and we know church is not the walls, it's not brick and mortar, but it is within us. Excuse me. It is the call of God on our lives. And we know that when Jesus left, he commanded us to go. The commission of Christ is built on that very first word, and that is a command. We don't have an option. If we are called the disciples of Christ, if we are called the church of the living God, our first order of kingdom business is to go. Do you know you can go to your phone and be about your Father's business? Because so often we say, oh, well, you know, Reverend Addison, I can't go. Or maybe you feel like you're up in age now. And as the old people would say, your steps are getting shorter. But do you not know you can use your phone not just to be about earthly conversation that's not a part of God, but you can use your phone to reach out to others, to reach out to those who are in need, to reach out and comfort those who are in bereavement, to reach out to those who are perhaps sick and shut in. Perhaps that individual can't talk on the phone, but perhaps there's someone there that can answer for them or will answer for them, and they can relay the message or put the phone to their ear, and you can be an encouraging part of being about your Father's business. You're still going. You're not staying in your place of doing nothing, of feeling, of having that sense of, well, you know, what can I do, or I'm not able to do, or you know, I can't do, you know, we like to say this one, I can't do what I used to do. People of God, take that out your vocabulary. We're going to serve God, hallelujah, until Jesus comes. Because the Bible tells us the work that he has done in you, he will perfect it until the coming of the Lord. And so there is always something the Holy Ghost will give us that we can do. Oh, my Jesus. Abraham was well in his 70s when he went to war to bring Lot out of Sodom, out of being captured. Oh, my God. Thank you, Jesus. So there's always Abraham and Sarah to fulfill the covenant promise of God well into their 190. God still used them and perfected what he told Abraham back in Genesis 12, that he would give him a son. And in their old age, they still was used of God to fulfill his word. So never think you can't do what you used to do. Maybe not to the degree or the pace or the level, but there is something within every season of your life that you can do, and you can do it until Jesus comes. When we look at Jesus' life, Jesus repeatedly told the religious leaders, the multitude, and the disciples, he said, I came down from heaven, and they got upset with Jesus about this. I came down from heaven not to do my own will, but that the will of him that sent me. Even in Gethsemane, as Jesus was in agony and facing the cross and knew that the day was coming when he had to fulfill Calvary. He had to fulfill what he was sent to do. In Gethsemane, he yielded his will. Jesus tarried, as the old church would say. He prayed until he received the power of God to go forth and do what he was sent to do. And Jesus said, he finally came to the place in Gethsemane and said, Father, not what I will, but what you will. That's what we're sent to do. That's what we're called into the kingdom of God to do. Amen? We're called not to do our own thing, how we want to do it, the easy thing, the easy part. We have to do the hard, the sacrificial things, as well as those things that may not take as much of an effort or energy, but we must do both. Amen. So Jesus teaches us, we're not here to do our own will, but we're here to obey God. The requirement of the Great Commission, the first thing is to obey God. And the first thing he tells us to obey is to go. Amen. The second thing that God gave us was that not only go, but be a servant. The Great Commission, thank you, Harmony Baptist Church, for this word that God revealed to you, and now he's also sharing it with us. The Great Commission not only requires us to obey God, the first thing, but he calls us to be a servant. John 13, 1 through 17. Listen to this. This is so awesome. We're talking about Jesus. He raises up from supper and laid aside his garments, took a towel, girded himself, and then he poured water. And I'm not reading verbatim, but I am reading how Jesus progressed to what will be washing the disciples' feet. After that, he poured water into a basin, began to wash the disciples' feet, wiped them with the towel whereabout he was girded. After he washed their feet, he took his garment and was set down again. And he said to them, he said to the disciple, "Do you know what I've done to you? Ye call me Master and Lord, and you have said well. So I am. If then your Lord and Master have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that ye should do as I have done to you." What did Jesus do to them? Yes, he washed their feet, but he was being a servant to them. Jesus' example to us throughout his 33 years on earth was to serve, was to be that example. He told us, "I did not come to be served, but to serve." Oh, my Jesus, that's a sermon all by itself. Jesus did not come. Are we as believers, when we show up, when we go forth and do what God tells us to do, are we showing up to serve or to be served? Oh, my Jesus. We see the mentality of "I want to be served" creeping into the body of Christ. Whatever title you have, it's like be served. Now, we do know we give honor to whom honor is due, and we honor in their place. But Jesus tells us to have a humble spirit, to be a servant. He continued to tell them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than the Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him." I pray, God, you read that today until it gets down in your spirit. The one that is sent, when God sends you on an assignment, you're not greater than him that sent you. When you show up to serve, don't think yourself, a word that I've learned so such a much that people have to say, "Oh, Rev. Madison showed up to give us a word." No, I am not greater than God that have sent me. So be a sent one. Because the one that is sent understands I am not greater than the one that sent me. So I'm going to humble myself and serve. I'm going to serve somebody. I'm going to serve. Even and to pastors and preachers out there and those of you that bring God's word, you're bringing that word not as a preacher, pastor, speaker. You have set yourself as a servant before God to receive what God wants to tell his people, and you serve them by going and bringing that word, what God has given you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Matthew 23:11 through 12. But he that is great among you should be your servant, and whosoever shall exalt himself shall be abased, and he that shall humble himself shall be exalted. You don't have to worry about giving yourself a title. You don't have to worry about exalting yourself. Jesus in you and who has sent you will exalt you. And he's not exalting you to be high-minded, to think more of yourself or more highly of yourself than you ought to, or to flash your titles, or to make sure you're called by your title. Jesus is the one that we are to exalt. And when we humble ourselves to be a servant, he will give us place where he wants us to be. So not only we must go and not stay, but we must go to be a servant. And in going, we must serve. And while you're serving, don't point people to yourself. Point them to Jesus. Your service must be such that we are pointing people to Jesus. I want to give you the third thing that God gave us through that word. This is so powerful. My God, my time has gotten away. The third thing in fulfilling the Great Commission is that we must be equipped. Go, serve, and be equipped. Ephesians 2:10, and then Ephesians 4:7-16 tell us that Jesus didn't leave the disciples on their own to figure it out. He demonstrated the kingdom. He demonstrated service and obedience. He demonstrated the use of our spiritual gifts, which Ephesians 4 will tell us, that we are to go. We are built up to be servants, and we are equipped. We don't just show up willy-nilly or in our own strength, in our own leaning to our own understanding to figure this out. But Jesus will send us, and in sending us, he has equipped us. So through Jesus' life, he did the work of the Father. And in one part of the scripture, he says, I do what I see my Father do. So we don't have to figure it out and put our flesh on what God is telling us to do. All we need to do is seek God. Seek what he have for us to say and do and be. Amen. He sent us. He commanded us in going out and to be a servant. Listen what Ephesians, I want to go back to Ephesians 2:10 and tell us. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God had before ordained that we should walk in them. He's already told us what we must do. He's already given Jesus as our example as to how to do the good works he's already ordained. Amen. And so today, my brothers and sisters, as we go forth and be about our Father's business to fulfill that great commission, go where God needs you. He will not send you and you not be equipped. you not have that heart of compassion, of love, to serve, oh, my Jesus, here's another sermon, and be a hireling. Everybody, well, I'm not going to say, most people now, where's the service with no charge? Where's the service? Jesus calls those who want to just serve, or those that want to use their talents, gifts, and calling just for the purpose of getting paid. That's a hireling. But where's the serving? Now, I have no problem with staff. I have no problem with people being given what they're due. But don't go because you're going to be compensated monetarily. But go where God has equipped you, where he's sending you. Don't just intend to go. Don't just go want to go. Well, I wanted to go, but don't make excuses and justify your not going. Don't justify your staying and not going. But put a yes, Lord, in your mouth to obey. Remember 2 Samuel 3:9, where Samuel, he got up three times and wondered if Eli was calling him. And Eli finally said, go back. And when you hear that voice again, say and say, speak, Lord, for thy servant hearing. And Samuel answered, here am I. Do we have any here am I Lords out there? When the Lord calls you to go, to be a servant, because he's equipped you to do it, do you have a here am I, Lord? Oh, my Jesus, there go another sermon. Here am I, Lord. Remember the song, here am I, Lord. Send me and I'll go. Remember the song, I'll go if I have to go by myself. Ooh, 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 Jesus, hallelujah. Praise you. Oh, my God. Thank you, Jesus. Sometimes you will have to go if you have to go by yourself. God has called, he said, to go. And Sister Boo, you can't go if you're going to stay. Sister Boo, you can't go and stay. Oh, bless the Lord. Hallelujah. But we're equipped. We're equipped of the Holy Ghost. He'll tell us how to do it. And God has given us such power, dunamis, exousias, power of the Holy Ghost to sit on the pew. Oh, my God. He has not given us all this power through the Holy Ghost in us and equipped us to watch TV 24/7. To sit and excuse ourselves from doing and fulfilling the Great Commission. Oh, my Jesus. He said, go into all the world. Teach them, preach to them, baptize them. Don't just have a baptism every now and then. Oh, my God. The eunuch that Philip showed up and told him about what he was reading, Isaiah 53, he stopped his chariot and he said, here's a body of water. What stops us from me being baptized? They got out of that chariot and dunked him right there. I can recall in a little town called Hickory Hill in Avoyelles Parish, we would walk from the church to the pond. Oh, my Jesus, would I get in that pond today? And they baptized us in that pond. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, Jesus, my God, hallelujah. What's stopping us? We have cars. We have air conditioning. We have all these things. We have the internet for God's use. We have social media for God's use. We have all these things. What is stopping us from fulfilling the Great Commission? Go, preach, teach, baptize. It caused them to observe everything I've told you in my 33 years on earth. And the Bible is telling us the same gospel that they received from the beginning, Paul said. That's the gospel I'm preaching to you. Not another gospel, not a different one, not one that we put flesh on and put our own interpretation on, but that same gospel that Jesus preached and taught and demonstrated to us. We are to go